And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure...
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
And welcome, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff, and welcome to the show.
How you doing, everybody? I'm just getting over a bout of strep throat.
Yeah, this
the
is like
worst.
The third time in as many months, probably.
Being a Tucson native, you'd think that my allergies wouldn't be this bad, but boy, they've been horrible.
You know, and I haven't had any challenges in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well,
it's been pretty good.
Yeah, lucky you, because I'm kind of over all these little allergy ailments. Drive me nuts. So anybody out there knows any homemade remedies for allergies, getting rid of allergies, send them my way, because
mesquite honey or local honey.
Well, yeah, local honey is a great thing, but it's apparently it's not enough. So anyhow, we got a great show for y'all today. Fun stuff going on in Tucson. But without these people, our show is not possible. So we want to thank our sponsors, A Made to Order, Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, H&S Estate Gardening, Mayfield Florist, Power Women Investing, Ronstadt Insurance, Tempco Air Environmental, our friends at the Tucson Roller Derby, and our newest sponsor,
Monkey Burger.
Yeah, Roy and the gang over at the Monkey Burger. Thanks for being our newest sponsor, and go there. Monkey Burger over on Broadway, it's fantastic food, and I know...
Broadway and Craycrofton, they're opening up a location downtown.
That's right, so support the Monkey Burger because they support us, and remember, the Fred Jeff Show is all about the great things that happen here in Tucson.
Yeah, and we also invite you to follow us on our electronic companion. The electronic companion is fredandjeff.com. If you want to get our weekly email... give us an email or send us an email at fred@fredandjeff.com. And we are now tweeting.
Yeah, Twitter, right?
Yeah, so I don't know how you follow us, but for those of you who want to follow us, feel free at twitter.com.
Twitter.com, and isn't it Fred and Jeff?
It's the Fred and Jeff Show.
Yeah, there you go. So
follow us on Twitter. Now, there are a couple, we always try to follow up on things that we've talked about in the past. And like last week, Tucson Roller Derby girls were here. Had a few of them here, and they were talking about, one of the things we love about roller derby is that they raise a lot of money in this community.
Yes, they do.
For a lot of charities.
Yes, they do.
And, this time around, their focus was Tour de Cookie, which is a fundraiser what they do is there's different locations.
Chuck's over there breaking out his dinner.
There's lots of locations around town where you get on a bicycle. And you would go from location to location and get cookies. And the Tucson Roller Derby, they made thousands of cookies. And apparently they made some bacon, chocolate-covered bacon cookies or something.
Cool.
But they won the best cookie stand. And we just want to give them a shout-out because, they worked their tail feathers off to not only they had a doubleheader on Saturday, they had the Tour de Cookie. I guess they had another event, another roller derby about on Sunday. So, these hardworking girls working for the community. Also, something really cool happened, a couple weeks ago, a 1950 Mercury coupe that was restored here in Tucson by a couple of our buddies went to auction at the Barrett Jackson Vintage Automobile Auction.
Up in Phoenix, right?
For over $300,000.
Right. Amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible. And, Tony Rabot and Ray Flores.
Anthony Rabot, yes. Anthony Rabot.
Yeah, and, these guys worked...
From High Speed, right? High Speed Automotive.
Yeah, they worked on this car and made it hum.
Yeah, well,
and
congratulations
they made it
to them.
To the tune of $330,000.
Yeah, I think it was, one of the top 10 highest selling cars of the Barrett Jackson Auto Show. That's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think they named the car Wasabi.
They did name it Wasabi because of the color.
Yeah, it was green.
Right.
Wasabi
like
green.
Wasabi, that's right. Yeah.
The last thing I want to talk about is our little cousin, Michael Gilbert Ronstadt, Michael G. Ronstadt, has a CD out. We would encourage you, we haven't put it in the rotation yet, some of the new songs for our bumper music, but we'll be doing that over the course of the next few weeks. But if you go to ronstadt.com, a digital store, you can buy his new CD over there. And we...
Bridging the Gap.
And that's his solo effort.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because we already have some of his music, which is...
Spit it out, Fred.
It's totally escaping me. Lost in Holland is his group.
That's right.
And
we'll point that out when it's one of the bumper songs. We'll point it out when we come back.
And actually, it's been part of our intro music.
Yeah, for since day one.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to start off with our interview with the gentleman from the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show. So stick around.
Sit back, take off your coat, baby girl, get it on tonight. Well, I don't want to explain, I just want to...
What are some of the simple ways five-star treatments last longer?
The simplest place to start was the water. The city water supply is treated with chemicals like chlorine. Chlorine can begin to break down the chemicals before they're even applied.
At Five Star, we use only purified water to mix all of our materials for termite and pest control. This is just the first step in making Five Star's treatments last longer than other companies.
For longer lasting termite and pest control protection, trust Five Star, 886-0045.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
And that is Sitting Bull from Lost in Holland.
All right, we're back.
Yeah, welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. It's Fred Ronstein here with my brother Jeff. And with us in studio is Peter McGaw, who is a fine representative of Tucson Gem and Mineral Society, which, you know, for all intents and purposes, is the big papa, the big bear of the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show. How you doing, Peter?
I'm doing well. It's great to be here.
So, Peter, how did Tucson become the place where the Gem and Mineral Show found a home?
Accident of our lovely climate at this time of year. A handful of people who were dedicated mineral enthusiasts who decided to have a show. And about 58 years of absolutely freewheeling organic capitalism.
So it started 58 years ago.
Correct.
And literally a couple of folks said, hey, this is a great place. We should get together and show off our rocks.
The Gem and Mineral Society was formed in 1948, and about 5 years after that, they decided to have a show. And so 8 or 9 people got together, and they found about a dozen dealers, and they did it in an elementary school cafeteria, and they did it there for a couple of years. And then it got a little bit bigger, and they got into a larger cafeteria, and then ultimately, they moved down to the fairgrounds, where they actually did it in the areas where they have the stock shows. And there were old-time members of the society who told me that they actually had to clean the place up after a stock show before they could have their first Gem and Mineral show.
Wow, that's
there.
Crazy.
So they were mucking the place out before they brought in the rocks. And then ultimately they built the TCC, or the ancestor of the TCC, and the Shomu moved there. And it just kept growing. Somewhere back around 1962, the guy in charge of exhibits, a guy named Bill Shoup, had no idea that the Smithsonian didn't travel, and they had a policy against traveling. So he invited the mineral curator of the Smithsonian to bring some rocks out and get out of D.C. in the wintertime. And the guy thought about it, and, you know, well, we got some rules against this, but he said, you know, he was one of these guys who kind of bent the rules anyway. So he said, sure, I'll come out. So he brought some rocks out, and he stayed with one of the families, and he was here for, in those days, the show was only 4 or 5 days long, and he had a great time, and he went back, and he came back the next year, and he started telling his friends. And so over the space of about 7 or 8 years, the American Museum of Natural History in New York started to come, and wow, Harvard Museum started to come, and the Carnegie out of Pittsburgh, and the Philadelphia Academy, and the Field Museum in Chicago, and then the Los Angeles County Museum. And then it expanded, and people started coming from the Sorbonne in Paris and the Natural History Museum in London. And it just kept growing.
So it really was organic.
Absolutely. And it's not just the Tucson Gem and Mineral Society show that has grown organically. And the TGMS, as we call it, is an all-volunteer local organization. Our profits go back into scholarships to promote earth science, geology, and mineralogy at the university and in the local schools. I mean, Arizona is a mining state, and that's where a lot of this has come from. So our profits go back into the community. At a certain point, the show got too big to handle all the dealers who were interested in being in the show. And so some guy started camping out in hotel rooms at the old Desert Inn across the freeway. And one after another, those rooms filled up. And then that wasn't enough. And so they went across the street to what used to be the Travel Lodge. And that wasn't enough. And we are now to the point where there are 36 satellite shows.
Wow.
Each one of which just sort of, someone identified that there was a niche in the business, gemstones, jewelry, fossils, minerals, African art, whatever have you. And they get a contract for one of the motels down around the downtown area. Of course, it now goes all the way up to Westward Look and places like that. They get a contract. They sell people rooms in the motel.
And exhibit spaces.
Yeah. Except for the Gem and Mineral Show in the convention center, All the other shows are effectively to the trade shows. There's lots of people displaying their wares, but everything's for sale. There's no exhibits.
Okay.
The Tucson Gem and Mineral Show in the Convention Center is the only one that has a major focus on exhibits, and I'm in charge of those. We bring in about 150 exhibits from international museums and major private collectors from all over the world every year.
Wow.
So it's sort of like this mineral museum that people bring components of. It goes together, it's there for 4 days, and then it goes back home. And it's never reformulated the same way twice.
Now, let's go back to the very beginning, because, you know, I think a lot of people today sort of regard this as, you know, they go and buy, you know, beads and gems and minerals. I know I have a lot of friends who, this is the time of year they buy all the materials for making jewelry, that type of thing. But it sounded like back in the very first time in the cafeteria, this was just a showcase of the kind of things that you find here, maybe in Arizona or in the region, the Southwest. Can you tell us about the first show? What exactly was there? What was the purpose when people, you know, put it together?
Well, it was a group of collectors. So it was people who, some of them, you know, fashioned polished stones of one kind or another, made bolo ties and belt buckles and stuff like that. And some of them were field collectors who'd go out and dig crystal specimens wherever they could find them. People who collect things like to show off to other people.
Sure,
who
absolutely
collect things. And so it's sort of like, I'll show you mine, you show me yours, and we'll see if mine's better than yours. So the first show was 3 or 4 dealers. Couple of them were local, and probably 10 or 15 exhibitors who were just local collectors who put their stuff out. There was a couple of kids even then who exhibited, some of whom are still in the business and basically became professional mineral dealers because of starting here.
Oh, that's great. So you were saying you, and I've got your business card here, and it says you are president of the International Mineral Development and Exploration.
Yes.
Tell me about that. What is
that? That's what I do for a living. I primarily do exploration for gold and silver in Mexico.
Okay. And you've done this for a long time?
About 35 years.
So were you doing this when you got involved with the Gem and Mineral Group? Or
they sort of grew out. They sort of came at the same time. In the mid-70s, I was in grad school in Texas, and a friend said, who was the curator of the university museum, said, they're sending me to the Tucson show. Do you want to go? And I said, sure. Well, what's the Tucson show? And so I came out here and walked around for 4 days with my eyes the size of dinner plates, seeing all these beautiful specimens. I didn't think that. I thought all the good mineral specimens in the world went into museums.
Sure.
It never occurred to me that there were more specimens out there than could be absorbed by the museums. And what I now recognize is that the museums get a tiny fraction of the good mineral specimens in the world, that most of them are in private hands.
And this is the time to come out and see
them. And this is the time to come out and see them. This is, by an order of magnitude, the biggest show of this kind in the world.
Really?
There's nothing that comes within a tenth of the size of our show.
And so give us an idea of some of the things that when people go down to the show, they absolutely have to see.
Oh, well, if you come to our show this year, for example, the theme is Minerals of California. So we have exhibits from the Los Angeles County Museum that will include gold specimens that were collected during the California Gold Rush.
Oh, very cool.
California is famous for a mineral called tourmaline. These are gem minerals that make beautiful jewelry, but they also natural crystals, and they're pinks and greens and blues, beryls, aquamarines, things like that. So we'll have a very broad spectrum of those from all over California. California is also the source of a mineral called benitoite. It's a beautiful blue stone. It only occurs in California in decent crystals, and there'll be three or four exhibits of that. We have a gold nugget that was found in Australia about 8 months ago with a metal detector. It was about 5-6 feet below the surface, and it's the third largest nugget that anyone has documented finding. It's 773 ounces of gold. And so,
Wait a minute. Let me do some math here. What's gold at right now, like $1,200, $1,300 an ounce?
About $1,300 an ounce.
And it's 700 ounces?
Yes.
Okay, so visually, how big is that? Is it like the size of a football?
It's about the size of a basketball. It's a sort of a flattened basketball.
The
nice thing about it is not only is it beautiful gold, but it has a wonderful shape to it. Lots of nuggets are just sort of boring lumps, but this one actually has a nice shape.
And this is a guy with a metal detector, the kind you see the people combing the beaches.
That's right.
And that's the kind of person that found this nugget?
That's exactly right.
That's crazy.
Well, that's why you've got guys out there on the hills all over the place with these things, hoping they're going to get lucky like that.
That's amazing. And if 5 feet down... So it must have taken him a while to get that out of the ground.
Yeah, but he was in an area that's famous for producing big nuggets. So when you get the bleep on your detector and you've got something like that...
You go get the backhoe.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. That's amazing. So you guys have got that down there.
That's coming. This is the first time it's been exhibited. It's actually the first time it's been outside of Australia. Another exhibit, we're calling it the Mystery Exhibit, but to show you how important our show is... About a month ago in a mine in California, a gem mine in California, they found some of the best examples of a mineral called kunzite that's ever been found. And kunzite is this beautiful lilac pink mineral. And they immediately, within 24 hours of finding this crystal, which is one of the finest ever known of this particular species, called us up and said, we would like to exhibit this at Tucson. In fact, we would like to unveil it at the Tucson show. So we're going to have Mayor Walkup down at our show, and he's going to take whatever the shroud is off of this case. And so the first time people who were not directly involved in finding this mineral and taking it out of the ground will see it at the opening of our show on Thursday, the 10th of February.
Yeah, that's great.
But that tells you how important our show is, that somebody who's in the business basically says, this is where I want to show it off. I want to make a splash, and Tucson is the place to make the splash.
It's the Carnegie Hall of gem shows.
Oh, yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. So this year, how many exhibitors are you going to have?
About 140.
And that's just for your show?
That's just for our show. And that's just the exhibits. That's the ones that I corral from museums and stuff like that. I mean, we've got...
Oh, they're all museum-quality exhibits?
We've got the Furzman Museum coming from Moscow. We've got the Carnegie, the Smithsonian, Harvard, lots of private collections. There's groups of collectors that are bringing special groups. The Crystal Gazers, they're a bunch of high-end California collectors. They're bringing a special case. We have another exhibit coming from a dealer who's based out of Dallas, who's bringing these ammonites. And ammonites are flat, coiled fossils. But these things are opalized. And one of them is brilliant green, and the other one is brilliant orange. And they're about 2 feet in diameter. These things are huge, and they're absolutely perfect.
Wow.
And
How do they find these stones?
People go out and look. But get away from the TV set or the computer, and sure, they go out and they walk around in the hills and they find these things. I mean, there's people who you think of copper mining or gold mining as the basis of mining, but there are mines all over the world that are focused on gems, minerals, crystals, and things like that. And this is where people bring to sell the stuff.
Wow, that's fantastic. So is it open to the public?
The Tucson Gem and Roll Show is open to the public. There's I believe it's a $10 admission fee plus whatever you have to pay the city to park in the downtown area. Children under 14 are free with a paying adult. We have special programs for the kids. We have a coloring book and a treasure hunt, and the kids go out and they're led to the various exhibits. One of our major focuses is education on geology, mineralogy, and earth sciences. So there's a lot of outreach. We work with the undergraduate student geological club from the university, and the students are there interacting with the kids. So both sides of the table are learning a lot. Well, I should mention, we've got a baby Tyrannosaurus Rex skull coming this year, too.
That's very cool. That's great. Who's bringing that?
That's actually coming from a private collector, the guy who dug it.
Oh, that's amazing. And do you know where it came from? Where did they find it?
North Dakota.
North Dakota. That's great. So you guys have been around for a long time. And in a minute, we're going to be at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to have to take a news break. But on the other side, we want to talk more about some of the amazing exhibits that have been here over the years and maybe delve into more specifics of what you've got to show and maybe some of the spinoffs of what you guys started almost 60 years ago. So stick with us. We got more time, Chuck. Fred, what do you got to say?
Well, I'm just stunned because people think the perception of the Gem and Mineral Show is just a lot of people showing up, selling jewelry,
beads, pearls. I mean, all kinds of stuff.
The tents along Congress and the frontage roads, and there's actually tons of stuff going on. I mean,
from the perspective of the Tucson Gem and Mineral Society, we're not entirely delighted with the perception that many people have that it's the tents and the beads and stuff like that, which is what's going on.
Right, because, it's like the Grand Bazaar
out there. Because what happens is the media tend to get saturated, and so a lot of the early enthusiasm and news about it is about parking problems here and something going on or a theft there, and yet our show's going on in the convention center, and you can still meet people in Tucson who've either never been to our show or never heard of it. And we started it, and we've got the best exhibits going.
Well, we're going to talk about those exhibits just on the other side of the break. Enjoy the news, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Yeah, we'll be back with Peter, so stick around.
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. President Obama's calling for a meaningful and peaceful government transition in Egypt. He says the process should begin now.
It is not the role of any other country to determine Egypt's leaders. Only the Egyptian people can do that.
Longtime President Hosni Mubarak announced Tuesday he will not seek another term in upcoming elections. But many of the protesters demanding his resignation are not satisfied. They say he should step down now. A blustery night lies ahead for folks across the plains and Midwest. A monster winter storm has dumped a foot or more of ice and snow in many areas, closing roads and grounding airline flights. The Navy captain, who was stripped of his command for raunchy videos he produced on the USS Enterprise, insists his superiors knew what he was doing and repeatedly praised him. Captain Owen Honors submitted a 15-page written statement to investigators. The most trusted name in news. This is CNN Radio.
Our place is about to turn into Game Day Central, but this year, I'm ready.
Sam's Club member Paula Rickenstein.
Tasty appetizers, snacks, ice-cold drinks, even 3D HD TVs. All at great savings.
Like a Vizio 42-inch Razer LED 3D television for just $9.97. Plus, join now through February 6th and score a gift card worth up to $25.
Bring it on, Game Day. I'm putting Sam's Club in.
Learn more at samsclub.com/entertaining. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guaranty, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guaranty's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguaranty.com.
Want to lower the cost of doing business?
Increase employee productivity and stop malware threats.
Barracuda Networks can help. The Barracuda Web Filter is an integrated hardware and software solution that enforces internet usage policies by blocking access to websites and internet applications that are not business related. The Barracuda Web Filter is the easiest way to get your staff back to work while preventing harmful malware from entering your network. Powerful yet affordable security, networking, and storage solutions trusted by more than 80,000 businesses worldwide. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM for your free evaluation unit. 888-ANTI-SPAM. Or visit Barracuda.com.
Military families are just different. You just have to live it to understand.
Fortunately, at USAA, we understand just how unpredictable and challenging a military life can be. That's why our commitment to serve the financial needs of our military, veterans, and their families is without equal. For more information, call 866-461-USAA or go to USAA.com. We know what it means to serve. Let us serve you. Membership eligibility restrictions apply. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates.
Thank you for calling Huge Conglomerate Insurance. Your call is somewhat important to us. Please hold, and we'll be with you as soon as we can.
When you get sick or injured, the first call you make is to your neighborhood doctor. Shouldn't the next call you make be to your local insurance representative? Skip the hours waiting on hold to ask a simple question about what your insurance policy will cover.
Your current wait time is 45 minutes.
Instead, call Ronstadt Insurance at 721-4848 and get the attention that you deserve. Trust local, trust Ronstadt Insurance. Pioneers in good service.
This is Lamont Hundley from Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. When it comes to your personal exercise routine, balance should be the most important ingredient. It's easy to lose track of time during a workout. Often we end up doing more strength training, then your cardio gets shortened, and there's no time to stretch. Balance is always the key to fitness success. You need an accurate portion of cardiovascular and respiratory improvement exercises, strength training, and always stretch before or after the workout. Just as a balanced diet is important in your nutrition, a balanced workout would help you achieve greater results. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff fitness tips.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And welcome back to the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff. And as the lovely lady lights that gentleman's cigar.
You know, that was a lovely lady lighting a cigar for you, right, Fred?
And it is time for the cigar of the week. And with us always is our friend from the Tinderbox, Big Mike. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good, but no one ever lights my cigar like
that. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
You guys get the ladies to light your cigars.
Well, I do because I'm married to a beautiful lady.
Yeah, that's
Fred,
true.
Fred's out there looking.
Actually, I enjoyed a cigar last night, and a lovely young lady lit it for me.
Oh, really, Fred? Tell us all about it.
So, Michael, what is the cigar of the week?
just wait. You go ahead. Tell us the story, Fred.
Oh, no. So what do you got going on over there, Mike?
Hey, today we got a nice one. It's a full-bodied smoke. It's made by Camacho Cigars, and it is called the Triple Maduro.
Oh, no.
This means the supply came in, right?
Yeah, it finally showed up.
What I've been waiting for months now?
Yeah, they had a little back order problem, but they finally shipped everything, and we're pretty flush on product right now. So if you're looking to try it, it's a great cigar made in Honduras.
Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, this is the kind of cigar that you need to, when you buy three and get one free, you need to have three friends and yourself, because this cigar will knock you on your keister.
If you're not used to a full-bodied smoke, this will kick your butt a little.
It is so tasty.
Yeah, Fred, this is the kind of cigar tasty. Fred loves.
Krishner Oil, he took him a little over 5 years to develop the product, and it's a triple Maduro. All the wrapper, binder, filler, all from Honduras. Obviously, all the leaves are Maduro. Maduro's leaves tend to be a little on the thicker side, it's a slow smoke. It takes a little longer to burn than another cigar in the exact same size. It's a very slow smoke, so when you have some time, it comes in smaller sizes and larger sizes. It's a good after-dinner smoke out on the patio or wherever you're at, in our lounge if you care to. And it's a great full-bodied smoke.
Yeah, I recommend the Perfecto. That's my favorite of all the sizes.
Yeah,
in
good
that
little
line.
Cigar. Yeah, it comes all the way up to a 6x60 size, as a matter of fact, too. It does.
That's huge.
Yeah, it's a biggie.
Oh, man. That's the kind of cigar you smoke, then you have to take a nap.
Yeah, that's a good 3-hour smoke if you do it right.
Wow. Well, good for you guys. I'm very happy for Fred. Very happy for all the people that go down to the Tinderbox and buy three and get one free. But I'm waiting for you to bring the Carrillo back.
Well, I'll bring it back. Everything's gonna take a second lap, so I'll be bringing it back.
Yeah, good. You know, if people are interested in the Carrillo, which is a really nice medium-bodied smoke, you only had a couple boxes left, Mike, didn't you?
Yeah.
Of the reserve. I mean, you have the other ones.
Yeah, they only came in, they come in boxes of, the regular line comes in the box of 20. But his annual one, the 2010 one, they only come in boxes of 10. That's his little, he does a little special, it'll be a special blend every year. And I only have a couple boxes left, so if anyone wants to come in and grab them, now's the time to do it, because they're not going to stick around long.
Oh, that's great. Well, Mike, thanks a bunch for sponsoring the show and
not a problem.
For dialing our listeners into such fabulous cigars.
And if anyone wants to come by and check out the place, come get the cigars. We're located at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. And you can call us at 747-4807.
And that's buy three, get one free, the Camacho Triple Maduro. And you will not be sorry. And Mike, we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small, shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest.
Why did Temco Air Environmental win the Better Business Bureau's Ethics Award?
We do what we say we're going to do, when we say we're going to do it, at the price we quoted.
Check us out with the Better Business Bureau or the Registrar of Contractors.
Temco Air Environmental, for all your heating and cooling needs.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear. And a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an agent authorized to sell health insurance plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
A made-to-order, providing Tucson with quality housekeeping service since 1988. We can handle all your house cleaning needs, from one-time, move-outs, weekly, monthly, and on-call service available at your request. Our housekeepers are trained to make your house sparkle and shine. A made-to-order is even open on Saturdays, and credit cards are welcome. Let a made-to-order show you what we can do for you. 790-3195, 790-3195. A made-to-order, woman-owned and detailed. Focused.
It the old and a Jewish guy, Kumyapsi, has lived.
You know, we love the song. We like to let it roll.
Fred, we're on.
I know. I thought I was talking.
You were, but you never hear it. Hey, welcome back to the Fred Jeff Show.
Oh, yeah, welcome back to the Fred Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother and harasser, Jeff. And he's currently calculating what
Over 773 ounces
of gold, what that calculates to at, with $1,300 an ounce.
Yeah, we're here with Peter McGough from the International Mineral Development and Exploration. But
he's representing the Tucson Gem Mineral Society.
Right, and earlier Peter told us that a gentleman in Australia with a metal detector combing a beach found a 773-ounce piece of gold. And I did the math, and it's over $1 million. That's quite a lottery find right there. He didn't even have to pay taxes on it, did he?
Oh, yes, he did. <It's> Australia.
Wow.
Now, something like that, I mean, you obviously there's just the intrinsic value of the mineral. I mean, there's a beauty to it, things you just can't find. You know, laying around. I mean, it's a unique piece. Never are you going to see something like this again. And there's obviously a dollar value just based on the weight of gold, but something like that is essentially a priceless item.
That's true. I mean, and we're asked all the time, how much is the blue diamond that the Smithsonian is bringing this year, the Cullinan blue diamond that they're bringing, you know, what's that worth? And we go, it's priceless, and, you know, all the exhibits are priceless.
Now, tell us about this diamond. What's this diamond about?
It's actually a relatively recent find. It's not as dark blue as the Hope. The Hope is a dark, almost sapphire blue diamond, which, of course, was found over 100 years ago. The Cullinan blue is smaller. It's only in the 35-carat range. But it's a beautiful, somewhere between sky blue and cobalt blue. It's a very, very beautiful stone. It was only given to the Smithsonian about 3 years ago.
Oh, wow. What, by a private collector or
yeah.
Wow, that's
amazing.
By a
private collector.
Amazing. So some of the things that we want to talk about with the time we have left in the show are actually, you guys have quite an economic impact on Tucson with your show.
Yes, the State Tourism Bureau, the last number I heard was a couple of years ago, estimates that the impact of the entire Tucson Gem and Mineral Showcase, which is what the term the city uses to describe the whole thing. There is no umbrella organization over this.
And that's almost 40 different shows.
There's roughly 40 different shows, yeah. But the overall economic impact in terms of hotels, rental cars, restaurants, table rentals, casual labor, over $125 million is left in Tucson in a 3-week period.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. And to think in 1953, with some folks that were excited about showing off their stones, has morphed, you know, what is that, over how many years?
58
years, it's turned into something that brings in over $100 million to our community. And now,
In 3 weeks.
That's crazy. That's crazy. And during the break...
No, it's great.
It's fantastic. No, it's fantastic. During the break, though, we were talking about school kids. You guys bus in school kids to see your exhibits.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, the TGMS focus really is... We're a nonprofit organization, hobby organization, all volunteers. One of our main focuses is education in mineralogy, earth sciences, and geology. And we bus in... somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 to 6,000 school kids from all over Tucson, actually all over southern Arizona. So on Friday morning, the schools come in one after another, and we have an organized program for them to walk through. But basically, the show is turned over to the kids from you know, all of Friday morning.
And what do the kids do?
Well, the kids are escorted through the exhibits. They're given a treasure hunt, which it's not like they're out there looking for treasure. It's they're looking for things in specific exhibits. So it's something for them. It's something to give them a purpose when they're looking at the exhibit. It's how do we get the children to learn about this? So you send them to see Chewy. That's the name of the T-Rex skull that's coming here.
Right.
And they go to see the giant 773-ounce Australian gold nugget. They go to see an exhibit of tourmalines. They go to see the 6-foot-long pyrite snakes that were dug up by a gentleman in Ohio this last year. But they're all
crazy.
They're all interacting with the exhibits. Plus, the dealers, a part of the contract we have with the dealers is they have to provide low cost materials for the school kids. So they'll have $1, $2, $3 specimens and little grab bags and things like that. So the kids all go home with a mineral or a rock or something that they've gotten
at the gem show.
That they've gotten from the dealers. And a lot of the dealers are very generous in terms of that stuff. The things, there's a number of them who pass out fossil shark's teeth and things like that.
Oh, man. See, my kids would go bananas for fossilized shark teeth.
I remember when my kids were a lot younger, they'd get bussed in. Or actually, it was carpool because, budget issues at the schools. But we take the carpool and walk them through. And it's amazing seeing a young person their first exposure to something like this, because a lot of people, gems of mineral are like the stuff you see in the playground, a bunch of rocks. I remember you go out in the desert and if other kids are like my kids, they pick up all sorts of things that they think are interesting, and they're just granite mostly, or mica or that kind of thing, and it opens their eyes to see what the beauty of the world.
Well, and I think the thing that can't be stressed enough here is that your guys' goal, the Tucson Gem and Mineral Society, your goal is to put a spotlight on geology and the minerals, studying that. It says it right here on your website. Our purpose is to encourage interest and study in geology, mineralogy, lapidary, and applied earth sciences. That's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
That's fabulous. And you guys have been doing that for a long, long time. In 1988, we were awarded the first Carnegie Mineralogical Award. Tell us about that.
The Carnegie is the Mineral Museum, the Museum of Natural History in Pittsburgh. Is one of the oldest natural history museums in the country. And back in 1988, they decided to institute an award for people who, in organizations who promoted interest in mineralogy, especially collector or specimen mineralogy, the kind of thing that would be in a museum. And they've been giving it every year since. And we're very proud of the fact that actually not only has the Tucson Gem and Mineral Society been given that award, but three people involved in our show have also been given that award over the, 24 years that they've been doing it.
Oh, that's fabulous. Fabulous. And so when people come down there, okay, so I want to bring my kids down there next week.
Well, wait a second. We might be able to help somebody get down there.
Oh, yeah,
let's
do that right now.
The first person to call us at 529-3508 and tell us the year of the first show in the cafeteria, we'll get two tickets to the show, and it's multiple any day between the 10th and the 13th.
Yeah, Thursday to Saturday. Or actually Thursday to Saturday
Sunday.
Plus Sunday.
To Sunday. So,
yeah, February 10th to 13th.
So. First call at 529-3508. You can tell us the year of the first show. The year of the first show.
We'll get these
two tickets.
All right.
You were starting the thought of taking kids down.
Yeah. So I take my kids down there. What is the thing? And we're not with the school.
Right.
Is there someone there? Earlier you were telling us about U of A students that interact with the children. Is there someone that we can bring the kids to and say, okay, follow this kid around, we'll show you all the cool stuff? Or are we kind of on our own at that point?
Well, it's a little of both.
Okay.
On Saturday and Sunday, we have what we call junior education, which is interactive tables with University of Student undergraduate Society Club. Mm-hmm. And that's in the arena where, you know, you go to hockey games and stuff like that. There's dealers in there, but back in the corner of that is junior education. And they typically have an organized earth science educational program. They teach the kids a little bit about rock identification and various geologic processes. That's where they'll get the treasure hunt map, the treasure map to go out and look at the various exhibits. There's a coloring book that they're given, which is put together every year to teach about the various components of the theme mineral. Our theme changes from year to year. This year it's California. Next year, because it's the 100th anniversary of Arizona statehood, the theme will be Arizona. So they get this, and they go out and they see the things that are in the coloring book. So it's leading them to specific exhibits that are out there. And when they've done with the treasure hunt, they go back to junior education and they're given a mineral specimen or two, or sometimes 12. I mean, we give kids get a collection of rocks and minerals in an egg carton, but they're working with the earth science students from the university to learn how to do mineral identification. And since most schools don't really teach geology and mineralogy anymore, it's valuable for these kids. It gets a lot of them
first exposure. Yeah. First exposure. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to be with school. You can come down there. I could bring, you know, my kids down there, and we can have that experience.
And right, and that's why children under 14 are free with a paying adult. So you bring 2-3 kids down with a paying adult or two, and come on in and have a great time.
Now, have you been letting kids under 14 for free since 1953?
Yes.
There you go. All of our callers, no one's gotten the answer right, so I thought I'd throw it out there. Well, that's fabulous. Okay, so, and the one thing, you know, with the little time we have left, the thing I'm trying to wrap my head around mostly is your show, other than the museums coming in and showing the fabulous things that they have, but really, there are a lot of folks there that find things. So maybe the gentleman that found the 773-ounce chunk of gold, he's trying to sell that to somebody. He'd like to sell it to a private collection or to a museum.
That's already a done deal.
Okay.
It's been brought by the individual who owns the specimen and the dealer who arranged the deal. But, yeah, in addition to the exhibits, we have about 300 dealers from everywhere, from some of the finest mineral dealers in the world. To dealers selling more moderate things for beginning collectors, dealers in antique books, mining artifacts, jewelry, fossils, gemstones, various other kinds of folk art from different parts of the world. So very broad selection of merchandise, so anybody can find something to go home. Some of the most popular ones are the fluorescent mineral exhibits, where you go in into a blackened tent and you see that some of these minerals, when you put them under a black light, they go from just looking like a rock to having brilliant orange, yellow, green, blue colors.
Oh, that's very cool.
Extremely popular kinds of things.
Oh, that's great.
And there's lectures by prominent mineralogists and mineral authors. There's a lot of programs.
All right. And now you guys, you could become a member of the Tucson of your Gem and Mineral Society?
Absolutely. We are a local organization. We encourage members, especially junior members, kids under 18. Dues are nominal. I think $15 a year is the dues for a family membership. We have a clubhouse. We have monthly meetings the first Monday of every month, except for September and February. And
you have a newsletter called Rock Talk.
We have a newsletter called Rock Talk. You can find us on the internet at tgms.org. It's a very active organization, about 450, 500 members.
That's great.
It's a lot of fun. It's a good group of people. If you like rocks and minerals, if you have a rock or mineral and you want to know what it is, bring it to a meeting and someone there will be able to tell you not only what it is, but probably where it was from. In some cases, they can even tell you who dug it in the first place.
Now, when we were little kids, we used to have those tumblers.
Right.
You remember those rock tumblers?
Yep.
And we'd have rock tumblers, and Fred and I, you know, we were in the YMCA Indian Guides, and we'd go out to Catalina, you know, Oracle, Arizona, mm-hmm. We'd find all kinds of rocks, and we'd bring them back to our little rock tumblers, and they'd tumble around and polish them all up. Mm-hmm. Are they still doing that nowadays?
There are still people doing that, yes.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's mm-hmm. funny. So when we come down this year, who is the, give me the top two, top three cannot miss exhibitors? The baby T Rex, got to see that.
The baby T Rex, the big gold, the mystery collection, the mystery specimen, the new gem find from California. What's called the rabbit ears tourmaline. If you see the poster for our show, there's this beautiful pink and blue tourmaline group that looks like a pair of rabbit ears. It comes from the Houston Museum of Natural Sciences. That's an absolute must do. It's very easy, though, because the exhibits are clustered. And you go in and basically you walk past one exhibit to the next and you just work your way up the aisles. And so it's very easy to see all of the exhibits. And what is my favorite may not be the same as yours.
Right.
We have a collection of minerals from England, from Cornwall, England, that was found in the basement of a manor house where it had been lost for over 100 years. And this stuff was unearthed last year. Someone was cleaning up a corner and they found these boxes and they got them out and it's now being shown publicly for the first time at our show. So this has come all the way from England to be here. And that's a very special collection.
That's very cool.
And that's for pretty advanced collectors because some of those are unusual minerals. We also have four cases which are designed. They're minerals from Arizona, Bisbee and other places in Arizona that are designed to foreshadow our show next year. And I mentioned that the theme changes every year. Next year, because it's the centennial, it'll be minerals of Arizona. And so when our 50th anniversary, for example, we did gold was our theme. And so we had everything from golds from California, golds from all over the world, the discovery nugget from one of the nuggets found the very first day of finding gold in the mill race at Sutter's Mill in California, one of the rocks that started the whole migration of people to the western U.S. We had the rock, I mean, arguably, other than Plymouth Rock, the most important rock in U.S. history.
In Western and that, expansion.
And that came here.
Now, how big was the rock?
It's about the size of a bottle cap.
You're kidding.
Nope.
And the
but
guy
it,
that
it started
it?
Millions of people traveling across the country and putting up with all kinds of hardships to get there.
Oh, that's crazy. I would have thought that rock would have been melted down and sold, and that miner would be in the bar having cocktails, and away they go. I can't believe that rock was saved for this long.
Yeah, there was actually two or three rocks found that day. The Smithsonian has one, and we've got our fingers crossed that that's actually going to be in their exhibit this year. That was a different department from mineralogy because it's actually a historical artifact, but we got our fingers crossed that they managed to pry it out.
So you guys have a really good relationship with the Smithsonian.
Oh, yeah, the Smithsonian has been the backbone of our show as far as museums are concerned from the very beginning, and every year they bring absolutely superb exhibits.
Oh, that's fabulous. Who's coming? Who's the furthest coming to Tucson? Who's traveling the furthest?
I don't know whether Australia is farther away than Moscow, but I suspect Australia.
What are they bringing from Moscow?
A whole series of gem minerals from the Ural Mountains, which is actually the suture between Asia and Europe, runs right through the middle of the Urals Mountains, and that's what's being brought.
That's
gemstones
awesome.
From there.
That's really
now,
cool.
Now the collection that was discovered in England, what kind of minerals are we going to see in that collection?
They're copper minerals, zinc minerals, lead minerals, brilliant blues and greens and yellows and reds, and then some metallic things.
Things that collected in the
collected
Great Britain,
in the mines of Cornwall in the 1830s and 40s.
Wow, that's great.
And what they called the Cousin Jacks, the Cornish miners, were the guys who came to the western U.S. all the way from Cornwall. They were the guys who knew how to do underground mining. So they moved here, and that's why you have pockets of Cornish people in Arizona, Colorado, and California, and places like that. They came from there.
Well, listen, Peter McGough from the Tucson Gem and Mineral Society, we wish you all the luck. Have a great show this year. Thanks for what you guys do for Tucson.
Yeah, thanks for coming down and talking with us.
Well, thanks, and come on down, folks, and we hope you guys come down. And
We'll be there.
Yeah, we'll be there.
Right. Look for you.
Have a great week, Tucson, and we'll see you next week with the folks from Christian Youth Theater.
Good evening, Tucson.
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Local talk at its best.
What are you talking about?
Tucson's Jolt. KJLL, South Tucson.
Ask the state to record or...